welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. There are a lot of opinions about the people we call the homeless, who they are, what they're like, what we should do for them, what we should do with them or to them. But what do they think, the people with no place to live? And what is it like to live where you're not wanted, in a makeshift tent, in the cold, the wind, and the rain, in the week between Christmas and New Year's, along a downtown street in Astoria, Oregon? So you've been out on the street for a long time?
Yeah, I've been out here about nine years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a long time to kind of make it out here. What happened? What caused that in the first place? What? Well, what caused you to be out on the street?
A couple of different things, you know. Just had a relationship that didn't work out.
And yeah.
You know, I had a trailer house when I first moved here, a pole trailer, and it was out on 202, and got hooked up with somebody that didn't work out. And I don't know, a lot of things.
Yeah. Was it kind of a surprise to you when that first happened?
It was a little shocking.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah, sure was. Why are you chewing on that plastic bag? Why are you chewing on the bag?
Well, did you have a car at first, or have you always been kind of having to rough it on this?
I had a vehicle once.
Yeah. I talked to another woman a couple years ago who had been homeless since she was, really on and off since she was six, because her mom was.
Uh-huh.
And she said it's a lot easier when you have a car, because then you have a place to keep your stuff, and so it's a lot harder when the car is gone and you're out on the street.
Yeah, it makes it quite a bit difficult. The hardest part is worrying about if the officers are going to come and arrest you and put you in jail because you don't have a place to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Has anybody been hassling you, or have the police been giving you a hard time?
Not recently, too bad, no. But yeah. They have had in the past, yeah.
We like to think that the police here are at least a little bit understanding.
Well, not always. I mean,
not always.
They kind of have been lately. I'm not sure. What else?
Did you ever meet Kenny Hansen?
Oh, of course. I know Kenny Hansen.
Yeah.
I've known Kenny Hansen. I've lived here actually probably 13 years. Around 13, maybe 14 now.
Yeah, I think Kenny kind of sets the tone a little bit that the others maybe hopefully pick up on. Because he's pretty understanding, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been trying to help us out.
Yeah.
He's been trying to get me back into Columbia, but I have a lot of problems with there's cameras in our rooms.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Even if you're a female, all room. I'm not going to change into my pajamas or change my clothes by my bedside.
Sure, I understand.
Because I don't want people watching me on the camera in the office. I believe it's an invasion of privacy, big time.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You know, and they have like anywhere between 3 to 6 people in a room, all crammed in one place, and there's a lot of variations between individuals, you know, their needs or wants, their likes, dislikes, or who they tolerate being around and who they can't, you know.
Well, do you ever have any luck? Do you ever go and over the lifeboat?
Oh, I don't qualify for lifeboat.
Oh, you don't qualify? I thought that was pretty open.
Well, I can go downstairs if I want to, but most of the time it's full. There's only, it fits 22 people and it gets filled up.
Yeah.
And there's still people down there, you know, you don't always get along with either. And so I tend to just try to stay away from,
yeah,
you know, any trouble.
Well, I used to volunteer at the warming center when we had it, and
right.
That seemed to work pretty well.
I thought you looked kind of familiar, because I used to go and stay there.
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would open it back up because, you know, out of 22 people that can go downstairs, or, you know, that do go downstairs, and it gets filled up, there's still You know, there was a, I heard on the street, there was a recording of at least 51 homeless that Oz fed for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which doesn't include me up there because I didn't go to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and probably a couple others didn't show. So there's probably at least probably 60. Well, and that includes probably people that are living in their vehicles.
Do you ever go by there for food or anything?
They're still houseless if they're living in a vehicle, huh?
Do you ever go by there for food or anything like that?
What?
Well, do you ever go by and just to get some food?
Down at Empty Bellies?
Empty Bellies, yeah.
No.
No?
No. No, I try to feed myself.
So you just try to do your own shopping and,
yep,
and go from there?
Most of my Social Security check goes on food out here.
Yeah.
It's very costing.
Yeah, well, that's sure. That's not going to go that far.
Especially when you have to eat at fast food places. Downtown Market's not very cheap.
Yeah.
And I have enough health issues. I don't walk very far. I have leukemia and I have a broken rod in my back.
Oh gosh.
A lot of joint problems. And,
how do you deal with health issues out here?
Oh, it's challenging, I have to tell you. That's probably the most challenging thing for me.
Yeah.
Actually.
your kitty is pretty anxious to get going, it looks like.
Yeah, well, she probably wants to go use the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Hey, sweetie.
She likes to chase the pigeons, and I don't particularly care for her chasing the pigeons. You know?
She's a pretty cat.
Yeah, she's Bengal.
Yeah, she's
Her name's Smeagol.
Yeah.
I named her after the Lord of the Rings.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, when you look ahead, do you see any way out of this or anything that people could do to help you? Or?
Well, yeah, we need more funding, you know. There's not enough funding. You know, CCA don't have the funding to help us get into apartments all the time.
Yeah.
And I worry, even if you get into one, if they run out of funding, how are they going to help pay for your rent and if you're going to be able to still stay in there or not? You know, if you can't afford it. I mean, I can't afford a place by myself. It's too expensive here.
What about if there was a place where, even if you had to be in a tent, what if there was a place where people just didn't hassle you?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And
but,
maybe,
you know, it's got to be close to where, you know, we can support a place where even us older people, because there are older people, I'm not saying quite senior age yet, but there are some of us, you know, that have the health issues, can't walk very far.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to get, you know, to the store. We don't have a porta potty out here.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, that's a big problem, especially you know, when it's raining out or it's nighttime,
yep.
and you know, we all got to go, and we got to go.
Yep, that's for sure.
So just having a designated place.
A designated place would be wonderful. Where
would be a help?
Yes, absolutely. Where, you know, the officers aren't going to come bother us. We could leave our tents up if we have a place to leave our things. Possibly. Oh, Smeagol, don't claw his leg, honey.
That's all right.
Be able to go and seek getting, you know, more stuff done to help yourself, getting a job and all that. You can't carry all your stuff to a job. And a lot of people don't want to, won't go to a job because you have to worry about the few belongings that you have, you know.
Well, do you kind of have to hang around with your stuff here so that some of it doesn't disappear?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So not having a place to put things where you can lock them up is...
Yep. And if we had a place to put our tents, one of the suggestions I had several years ago was like the old recycle bins or something.
Yeah.
You know, that we could put our stuff in next to our tents.
Yeah.
And have them, you know, chained up somehow, locked down.
Yeah.
You know, so that our own padlock on them, you know, so that we could put things in there, you know, even if it's raining, so we don't have to have to move it around. That's the big thing. We've been promised, you know, that there was going to be lockers possibly for us to put our stuff in, and that hasn't panned out. We've been promised,
happen.
You know,
yeah.
that they're always coming up with some kind of housing that was something that was for, you know, to help more low income, but it never turns out that way. It always turns out to be $1,200 rent or, you know, some things that we can't afford. We need, you know, some place where we can be that we're not under constant eye shot of the town.
Yeah. The government's got everybody right where they want them.
So,
I mean, I don't work for City Hall. I don't work for the police department.
So aside from the police, does anybody else hassle you? I mean, they're just regular people go by and hassle you or kids?
Oh yeah, they get harassed. My daughter's tip one night, somebody threw a fireworks that was very loud at her tent. It shot off at her tent or whatever. I was around the corner, but it was loud enough. And it started stuff on fire outside her tent.
Oh gosh.
And then, you know, her ex-boyfriend's in jail because he tried burning her up in her tent.
Hey, remember when Jules got a can of Pepsi thrown at her, or a can of Coke?
I've had my tent attacked out here, and I was maced in the face several years back.
Oh gosh.
And
what about?
You can bring some food by from the meal if you need anything.
I just had some spaghetti from the other people that helped us out, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you if you ever have people who just come by to help.
Yep.
These guys right here
help us out with food. They fed us yesterday at least ways because we didn't even get a Christmas meal or, you know, we didn't get no hot food on Christmas.
Yeah, I know. You're out here over Christmas. That's.
And there was. Yeah. Yeah, there was nobody that came by with any kind of food, so.
Anything else today?
I don't think so. Offhand, I can't think of anything, sweetheart.
Well, tell your daughter I'll come by and chat with her in a bit, too, okay?
All right, what's your name, sir?
Oh, Roger.
Roger.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was nice meeting you.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
So, you're wandering around just trying to... By the way, I'm recording.
Oh, great.
Because I work for a radio station here. But I'm just wondering, you guys are wandering around looking for people to help. Tell me about that.
Yeah. We are with the Food Not Bombs group that's doing the community meal at the Garden of Surging Waves.
All right, great.
And a lot of people from that group come around here frequently just to check up on people and give out whatever we have.
Well, I noticed someone was by the other day. I don't think it was you who was giving out clothing. Would that have been one of your folks too?
It might have been. I'm not sure.
It might have been.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of folks in town who care a lot.
Well, tell me about your group.
Well, Food Not Bombs is like a international movement, so we definitely didn't start it, but the chapter in Astoria just got started a couple months ago in the summer, and we just do a community meal once a month so far. So we're just setting up in the park and doing a meal on a Sunday. Anybody's welcome. There's oftentimes some kind of literature and some kind of information about politics in the world and what's going on, so there's a lot of that, but free food.
And how would somebody who wants to help find out how to do that?
We have an Instagram page, and then we put up flyers, so the best way is probably just to come to one of the meals and chat with people there. Most of the people there have volunteered or help out in some way and can find somebody to get you connected. We have a newsletter.
It's been the last Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
At the park from 2 to 4, so anyone is welcome to come out and get some hot food. And we usually have take home prepared food, dry goods and stuff for people to grab as well, whatever they need.
Well, I used to volunteer at the Warming Center when we had it, and I go around once in a while and talk to some of the folks on the street, just because so many people say the homeless. And I'm trying to make the point that it's people. So,
yeah. Can't even generalize it. It's a wide range of people.
Sure.
It's people living on the street, people living precariously, people living even paycheck to paycheck are like much closer to living like this than they are to living.
That's very true, and I've encountered all of those people you're talking about too. That's absolutely true. And a young woman I talked to a couple of years ago. Was talking about the difference between when you're homeless and you still have your car and when you're homeless and you don't have it anymore, and the way that changes, especially for a woman. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, thanks, right. Guys.
Same to you.
All right.
Nice to meet you. All right.
The park that the people from Food Not Guns were referring to is the Garden of Surging Waves at 11th and Duane Streets. The mother we were talking with before they arrived goes by the name of Mama Rain. A short while later, we spoke with her daughter, Shayna.
So how are you doing today? I had a nice chat with your mom earlier.
Yeah. Doing okay. It's cold.
Yeah, it is cold. It's been cold and wet.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been wet for, what, almost 24 hours? Can I add one more thing, do you think?
Absolutely.
We need a charging station or something so we can charge our phones up. Because people can't get phone calls, you know, important phone calls from, you know, did they have to go to court or a lawyer or job interview or, you know, doctor appointment calls or any of that kind of stuff. They shut off all the outlets, they pull all of the handles off the water spigots so we can't even get water.
Yeah, I know.
And a charging station where we could go and sit and we could all put like a donation thing there, you know, we could all add a little donation money to it, you know, for cans or whatever help we can get, we get out here from whatever, you know. So it's a legal place for us to be, you know, to do that. Because there's not enough charging places down in empty base, down in empty bellies. There's only like one outlet, or, you know, one or two outlets, and you got 20 to 30,
at the warming center.
10, 15 people or 30 people own that want to charge it all at the same time.
Yeah.
I have to bring my own freaking extra cords, like plug-in, what is it, circuit breaker or whatever.
You mean when we have the warming center?
Yeah, I mean when we have the warming center.
Yeah.
And the warming
sounds like Oz is going to start showers up there eventually, but who knows when that's going to happen again.
Right.
And it sucks taking showers at nighttime. Like, I can't do it right now because
and the
my
showers,
ears.
The showers downstairs, his hot water tank, it's cold.
Yeah.
And you have 22 people running through there, one right after another. It doesn't have time to heat up.
Yeah.
And well, that, take that, cold showers.
That was a good setup at the warming center.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. It really sucks. Someone always ruins it for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that anybody ruined that. I think.
Well, the stabbing, you know.
I think they're just, you know.
But someone got stabbed.
Someone got stabbed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A lot of people didn't want to volunteer, got scared, you know. Like, all of us are, you know, we're not all that way. And random things sometimes happen like that. And I don't think that people should be so judgmental.
I also would like to, I don't know, start a downtown, like, Sunday cleanup where we go around and pick up trash.
Yeah.
But then we have to be able to have a safe place.
And maybe, like, the ability to
safe place
have permission to use someone's water spigot close by on the streets that we do stay at, like, and power wash our own streets that we're on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 33, almost 34 years old, and I mean, I'm young enough I could be a benefit to the downtown area, and there's no better time than the weekends when there's really nothing to do.
Yeah.
And whatever that would help us make us look better or seem like we're not as bad as people want to portray us to be.
Well, some people. How does that make you feel? How do you think people perceive you? How do you think they see you? What do you think they think of you?
I think it's almost like they think we have a disease or something.
Yeah.
We're looked at as we're too, like, far gone. I mean, what I call us is gray lives, because we're the ones that fall through the cracks or that, because of the choices we've made in our lives,
it's really led
people to not have faith or believe that we can be better than.
And it's not always even choices we've made. It's sometimes it's always the other things that other people have caused for us too.
So it's kind of hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your mom said she's been living on the street for about a dozen years now. How about you, Shanna?
Yep.
Is that true of you as well? Has it always been around here, or have you traveled around, or?
It's been pretty much around here. I mean, in Colorado, I mean, my mom had Section 8, and she worked for my grandma, so. Yeah. And the community, I don't know, like, it's a whole different kind of people.
Well, let me ask you what I asked your mom. Do you see a way out of this? A way that somebody could help you out so that you would get back on your feet?
Yep.
You don't see?
I'm pretty much, I know I'm probably gonna die out here like everybody else, but I mean, it's my own choice. I mean, I could get a job and I could go into rehab and go get counseling or whatever they think that will fix me, but.
Well, what needs to be fixed? What's wrong with you? What do you think?
You can't fix once you fail as a mom.
Oh.
I can't go live inside, and they don't allow you to live with anybody when you get approved for an apartment. They're really, really strict on that, and I can't imagine myself sitting in the living room or cooking dinner or
not being able to have family or friends over. A lot of the places that, they won't allow anybody to come and stay or visit.
I would just sit there and be really, really sad that my kids aren't there.
How many kids do you have?
Huh?
How many kids do you have?
4. One that passed away.
Oh, gosh. And they were taken away because you're homeless?
My dad took my daughter in Montana after I lost my first son. And me and my ex, our relationship started getting really bad, and we wound up on the streets out here, and with my 2 little boys, and one wasn't even quite a year yet. He was 8.5 months old, and my other one was 2.5. And I didn't want to be without a home for them, so I called CPS on myself, and I had CPS get involved, and they took them, and then I let them go.
That's hard.
So I didn't want to put them in and out of foster care. And
well, is there anything the city or the people who live here, the community, could do to make things better?
We need a place to put our tents.
Yeah.
If, since we can't seem to, they can't manage to help get us in housing, and we can't afford it. Most of us that are out here can't afford to live in a place.
So you get some Social Security, but it's not enough to pay for housing.
No, I'm going up. Yeah, I'm just barely going to be breaking $1,000.
Yeah.
That's all I get for a month. And by the time you spend it on food and clothes or to replace this or that, or, you know, we've had quite a bit of help with blankets and bedding and sleeping bags. You know, this guy Richard has helped us out a lot, which has been really wonderful, you know. And there's a lady that comes and takes our blankets, and she's been doing
all my blankets are soaked. We have no way to do laundry or anything.
We can do laundry at the warming center, but
that was another
thing. We only get to do one load a piece, and we don't even get to use the right settings on the washer because they have them taped up.
Yeah.
The settings, and so they're using like a permanent press when you need to be putting it on a heavy.
I know, or quick wash when you need it on heavy.
A heavy cycle.
Heavy duty.
And a heavy duty cycle, and then it didn't wring my blankets out one good one day, and then they had to reset the washing machine and make it this big production when we're not retards. We know how to work a washing machine. You know how to use the right setting. They won't let us do that. You know, they won't.
Well, we've had a lot of rain the past several weeks, and when some of your stuff gets wet, do you have anything that you can possibly do to reclaim it, or is it just lost?
It's lost.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it goes, in the trash. Because it gets moldy, you know, and you can only wash so much in one load up there. I mean, when you have wet blankets and, you know, two or three loads of possibly wet clothes, or, you know, two or three loads of blankets even, they get caught up, you know, per person. There's not enough time, and they only let us do laundry from noon to 3 at the warming center. They cut our wash loads off at 3 when they don't close till 5. They could squeeze in at least one more load.
Yeah.
Or two, possibly, up to 5. But they cut our hours off. So we only get from, noon to 3, we only get 2 hours of wash time.
Do you worry about...
Three.
Do you worry about your own safety at all, or is it better?
Oh yeah, all the time.
With the two of you together.
And it's random people.
Yeah.
Generally, they come by, they scream and holler out the windows, and like I said, they threw, you know, stuff at her tent one night, and stuff outside her tent started on fire.
I had kids throw fireworks at my side, by the side of my tent, and it started lighting all the stuff on fire on the side of my tent.
And you know, I had people throw, you know, raw eggs at me and Mary Ng outside the City Hall one night. It was my first City Hall meeting I ever went to talk about some of the things that happened out here. And I haven't been back to a meeting since.
Yeah.
So, a lot of different things. Yeah, I worry mostly about young kids, you know, in vehicles that probably are their parents' vehicles. They drive by and run their mouths and honk their horns and race up and down the street, and people drive the wrong way all the time. People like cars that go way too fast.
That's Life on the Street in Astoria, Oregon, as experienced by two homeless women, Mama Rain and her 33-year-old daughter Shayna, in the week after Christmas. I'd like to think we can do better for them and the many, many others with no home to go to. Among them are mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, students, veterans with PTSD, people. And to do no more than try to move them out of sight seems to me less than we could do for fellow human beings. Thank you for listening. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca.